So this is I Desire to Possess Objects.
Okay, that's nice.
And this came from me thinking about, I personally don't have many objects. I don't keep many objects. I'm not very good at getting objects. And I go into other people's houses or environments and find that they've collected an amazing range of objects. And even when I'm out with them, if we're on holiday or I'm in the market, they get stuff.
Yeah.
I don't see
it. Did you used to get slightly annoyed if anyone ever gave you a Christmas present or a birthday present? Like, what do I do with this thing?
Yes. They mean nothing to me. And yet, when I see other people, I'm really envious of their ability.
Their complicated environment.
To get objects, to understand objects, to have an empathy with objects, and to construct this environment. But also, when a house gets full of any stuff, I chuck it all in the bin.
Right, yeah.
Because I feel like a real weight of objects. So I'm conflicted by that, and I think it's a very interesting issue as to what it is that defines that desire to possess and what that's about, really.
If you have too many objects, they tend to take up a lot of time, don't they? Because you have to move
exactly
them around, and it's just a very
the maintaining of the object.
Yeah.
Do you maintain objects?
Just tools. Do I have things? My bike, you know, but that has a function. I don't polish anything. But I've inherited things from family.
It's a nice line. I don't polish anything.
Yeah.
You've inherited things, because that's so another way of accumulating objects, and then you find you have them, and you can't really get rid of them.
I do manage to kind of get rid of them slowly, or sort of destroy them or something, or bury them or turn them into something else slightly. So I do kind
of... that implies that you don't have a desire for these objects? Because people are driven to fantastic ends in order to possess stuff.
Yeah.
We're driven as a society to possess objects. They've only just...
Which object? Which?
This is the desire to possess objects.
You haven't got that.
I haven't got that, no. You know that. Yeah. So it's a slightly provocative question. And also an inquiring question as to, you know, why people have that desire. I have a missing gene in it.
Mm.
And what
does
it do?
You have jewellery.
Do I? Oh, yeah. but I'm not very good at that either.
Did someone give it to you, or did you buy it?
No, I did buy this.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't very often wear jewellery.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the reason I came was because I do possess objects, but I think I've changed enormously in the last 3 or 4 years, and it was partly because I finally got round to buying a flat and moved into a flat that was already the owner was elderly and had accumulated things. And some of those things I'll just keep those things. Why would I throw... I don't know, there was a kind of set of...
But they weren't your objects. There was someone else's
objects. No, there were somebody else's objects. But it was also because it was a very deliberate move away from a kind of quite minimalist, modernist, architectural, which is my background, kind of quite clean space where everything's lined up. And deciding that I would... And I don't think I was trying to take on the persona of this person, but I think I felt that I could be relaxed enough to have things that were quite mixed and not kind of more
organised
and contained and kind of clean and white. And so I've got floral wallpaper, for instance, which for me is... But this is like a huge change to have a room that has flowers on the wall. And out of that, having kind of settled into this place, I find that I've decided that it's all right, for example, to have ornaments. So for me, those are...
Ornaments are really interesting.
And I've spent my whole life refusing the notion of ornaments. You know, I've had things...
The
crime
of
ornament.
Them.
Ornament is crime. You know, I've had, obviously, things that, you know, like you get stuff that your children make and you get, you know, things you get... People give you things that you can't really...
Did you accidentally break?
Yes, which it sounds like you're really good to throw away, but you can't... I can't throw away my daughter's thing.
Give it back to her.
I could put it in a drawer, I suppose. But so I've spent most of my life yes, ornament is grand. I'm thinking that ornament is trivial, thinking that it's, I don't need it, it's functionally irrelevant. And now I find myself extraordinarily happy to begin to be accumulating these things. And I don't know whether that's a desire to possess. But for me, it's actually a positive thing, which is a relaxation away from a particular notion of taste and sensibility. So that's it's kind of...
Because for me, I think also it's about not wanting to be defined.
By your stuff.
And having nothing,
yeah,
it means that you can't be defined by it. I lived in people's sheds for many years, so I had nothing. I was very, very happy having nothing.
I live in my studio.
Yeah, it was fabulous. Yeah.
Don't even have a bathroom. I have a bucket.
And so the objects become...
Thank you for sharing that with us. Maybe you shouldn't have done
that. Did I say that out loud? God.
So you know you allow yourself to have that.
It's because you've...
Yes, I think that actually it was... that. And I'm not saying anything about you, but I think... funnily enough, and it's interesting that in terms of who ships up in this group, I lived for a long time on a boat. So the same thing, I didn't have much stuff.
It's interesting, isn't it?
So that's
this is a sort of a non-stuff stuff.
It's a self-reinforcing thing, but for me it was about... Yeah, relaxing into a certain sort of normality, I think, out of a kind of very designerly, making designerly background.
So you're assuming your current state is normal?
Well, I am.
Normal, but you called it that.
I did call it normal.
Yeah. So what were you... Sorry.
I've kind of done something similar just in the last couple of weeks. I've just been... Normally I'm quite hyper-tidy and I keep my tables clear, ready for my next whatever I'm going to think about. But I'm just... The last couple of weeks I've just been trying hard not to put things away. Like my tent that I used last weekend is still sort of hanging there and just letting things move around the studio on their own without constantly... Just as a way of not exhausting myself so much, because I'm a bit worn out putting things away all the time. So it says it's very hard to keep a clear space.
And do you feel relaxed about that?
At the moment I do, but I do know I'm really going to enjoy clearing up in the week, so it's going to be be a relief. And then I think I'll start a new project. I think it's just a good exercise.
So we three come potentially in the category of not... It's not to do with desiring to possess object, but actually we're...
And actually, I must say,
you're saying another thing, which is really rather kind of interesting. You're saying it's not a kind of a dumb desire for object, but it's a location of object and desire which is freer. It's more in movement, more transient. It's not objectless, but it is about kind of not allowing desire to fix on an object, but not being afraid of moving through and with the object. Something like that?
I think that's right, although then that leads immediately to the issue is, are we still managing to say that we're different to those people that you started talking about who seem to be unable not to accumulate stuff? So we're placing ourselves in this kind of... we're giving ourselves this permission, but we're placing ourselves in a kind of... We have control over that. We know what we're doing. And there are other people out there who cannot stop themselves desiring to possess things, which I think is quite... I think it's problematic to do that. I'm not saying you're doing it, but I think that they could easily be understood like that.
But I also do have some objects, because I sort of think I should have some objects, and they don't mean what I think they should be.
Okay.
You know.
How do you mean?
Yeah, well, give us an example.
I have very few things around. Even though I'm an artist, you know, so I have a studio full of stuff, you know, but stuff I make. And so I have... there's a cup and saucer that belonged to my aunt, and my father mended.
Do you use it?
Never.
No,
I just look at it and I think that's a crap mend, really. I sort of feel that there might be an object that could be imbued with something.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a candle that someone brought me back from Thailand that I've never quite got around to burning. And they just sit side by side. And
yeah.
They're a shrine to the unloved object, aren't they?
Yes. They are, and sometimes they're objects that people have given me, and I think that's nice that they've given them to me, but the objects themselves are The art don't seem imbued with that magic.
Well, you could see them as shrines to the unloved objects. You could see them as it were, kind of elements of a shrine to oneself.
Yeah.
That kind of central hagiographic kind of figure of the tempted saint. These objects are there somehow to kind of tempt you to be ensnared by them, that you are somehow... I'm sorry, don't be offended.
No, I'm not.
I'm just kind of trying it out on you and thinking, well, isn't it a kind of a certain, isn't there a certain kind of amour propre in the proximity of unloved objects, unengaged with objects, that kind of place you in that temptation series of saintliness? Go on, say something.
I don't really know. I mean, I do collect the objects to some degree, but I think in a way it's only things that I'm sort of tempted by or familiar with. But I also believe that there must be a reason why I actually do collect these particular objects. That they sort of have a purpose on, that is not just there for decoration, you know what I mean? So it's...
But we also, I mean, we haven't... Because the usual thing is decoration is... You know, it's not just decoration, it's always got this other thing which is about display, about you locating, you know, what it says about you, what you feel about the object, so that the things that... all the other things that are also contained in the objects. Although I've talked about ornaments, I haven't gone into detail about what my ornaments are and what values I load on them.
Yeah.
So there is that whole kind of... I mean, there's something buried in the question which is to do with... needing to have things in order to I don't know if it's even display, but they're also about the self and about the...
Do you actually become aware that you actually need that bit, those things that you collect? Or is it just something that's more like intuitive? No, it's just happen as a habit. The more you sort of collect, the more you sort of become addicted.
The more confident you become in your collecting.
Well, and the more if you've got... I certainly have a friend who collects things, so she's got, like, shelves of particular sorts of vases and Klaus Kleve stuff, and then she's got... The toilet is just stuffed full of things to do with fish. And there's a lot of fossils and bones somewhere else. And it's become... The thing is, once you've got a few of something, you end up having a lot more. If they've got that kind of category, people buy them for you.
They recognise it. She likes books.
It's funny because then the objects have a sort of autonomous status because they're in a group.
You know, they become a collection.
They affirm each other. Whereas I think I look at an object in my house and I think, well, I don't know what that says about me. I don't like what it says. I don't know who I am with this object. I'm all right about who I am, but with objects, I think
what
all right.
What
so. Anything, actually. I don't have hardly anything, do I?
No.
Sharon has fabulous, how full of... lovely, lovely things, and I envy it. And I
was she one of your examples from
she
earlier?
She was one of my examples. And yet my house is full of hardly
nothing. But I find that sometimes I buy her things because
she
I think,
back to you.
Well, I can see her politely accept them.
Do you buy them to be deliberately disruptive?
Yes, I do, to make her have something.
It's not
because I can't bear her not having stuff.
But that's because you feel that her life is impoverished without stuff.
I know, it's complete rejection.
But she can come round and look at your stuff, though. She's feeding.
She doesn't want to.
But...
Well, or she's thinking, oh, you've got too much stuff.
This is too much information.
It is.
But there are some things I know I can buy, which are napkins and tea towels.
Yes. I've moved into this, though, recently.
Yeah.
It's quite a recent thing for me.
But they're functional. I mean, I do have to go and check that they're all in the cupboard with the fold going the same way and neatly stacked. So I don't stack them.
But it was a long time before I allowed myself to buy napkins, because I didn't want to buy napkins that said the wrong things about me. I didn't feel happy with the sort of napkins
that
I might buy.
I can buy you napkins. I remember you buying the napkins in a car boot sale in France, and this major step of the anxiety over the napkin purchase.
But, and I'm sorry that we seem to be going on about you personally, but
my defects.
Do you, because it's been, in the discussions I've been with, it's been a really central point, which is that objects can have some autonomy, and you can have some autonomy from objects. Mm. So the idea that, it sounds like you are very anxious that people will make judgments about you through the things that you own. Are you really that anxious? Is that,
no.
It's not where it's really centred, is it?
That's what's so strange. That if I went and said, she's got really horrible napkins, it's not a big value judgment, really.
I find stuff a burden, actually. I just find it heavy. I can't describe it in any other way. I find stuff heavy. And I feel lovely when I've thrown stuff out.
Objects have demands.
Yes, exactly. I can't cope with them.
But then that goes back to what you were talking about before, about this idea of being moving around. You know, the fact that you're not in one location within this amount of time. You're always transport. You know, you're always on the move. But every time you move, you have a limited amount of stuff. So
in one way, it's quite instrumental. It's quite straightforward.
But I think also it's about not having past. About constantly getting rid of the past.
On the run.
Yes. And doesn't put me in a very good light at all, does it? Not going to write anything about that. So you're an object collector.
I think you can write objects have demands.
I have been an object collector. and then I let all the objects go.
So the opposite of me.
Create and then disperse. Create and disperse. So it is a kind of rhythmic thing, as you were saying. In a way, when you collect, in however kind of, as it were, desultory a way, you are kind of thinking or feeling your way through something. And when it's served that function, you don't need it anymore. And what most people tell you about collectors is they're kind of monomaniacs, and their children don't want their collections. They won't outlive your life. So it better be really expensive and good enough to give to a museum, or forget it, it's going to go after you because it's you who holds that stuff together.
It's quite funny because how did you come to the point when you decide that you don't need those objects anymore?
It's an intuitive thing, just something that happens.
Then you become selective, isn't it? What you need.
You stop grieving whatever that is. or for whatever passion or purpose you're collecting.
There's a moment when elderly people start to clear out. Or start to hoard, but that's a pathology. But there's a moment where it's as though a recognition that you have to clear out before you die.
Is that because they cease to be, because they don't hold any presence anymore, or you feel that you're not in this world and they, you know, maybe we use objects to anchor us and they feel they don't need anchoring anymore? Because they're about identity, aren't they? They're about, you know, there's some of your worth in some sense.
And also, it's kind of how much importance you give, how much you think an object you have has the potential to have its own afterlife and how it can go somewhere else to someone else and do whatever. And have, it's like when you lose something that's really precious to you, and it's only at that point that you realise how much it did mean, but then you have to kind of remind yourself that it's okay, so it might actually go to somebody else and have some new movement.
But do we give objects, do we give them new meaning? Or what is it? It's like
when we get them,
or is it just something that we sort of keep just because we've been given these objects?
But just by keeping it, you'll give it a new meaning.
I know, but
how could you not?
Well, I mean, how are you actually giving a new meaning? That's, you know,
it's totally different.
Because you can keep something, but it doesn't mean you're actually giving it any meaning.
Well, even if it's just a minimal level of meaning, it's got.
I know,
meaning.
But is, do you become aware of actually? That's, you know, is. Do you become aware? You know, is how do you define it?
Because I think it is. It goes back round again, which is back round to what you said, which is about
and it's about you only know when you give it, you either give it away or you lose it, or that's the, it may be, otherwise it's one of these unnoticed objects that we've talked about, it just becomes part of the kind of banal every day, and it's only at the moment at which you cease to possess it, either consciously or unconsciously, but then you kind of know what the meaning is, maybe, whether it has a deep one or...
But I wonder if, because I think range around a lot of the discussions is obvious that the objects have a power.
What is it?
I lost my wash bag last night in this area.
Did you see that photo? How many things they have in this office?
Okay, right, I'm going to make sure.
180,000 mobiles in 2 months. Absolutely inordinate amounts of stuff. Inordinate amounts of stuff get lost
on the tube.
Didn't help my black cashmere scarf.
Someone found it.
Because I know.
Sorry.
What were you saying?
I was going to say, I think some people are way better at imbuing objects with meaning and then making them into those something other than the stuff that gets left. And the whole fascination about what power objects have or where they belong, who possesses them, all those other discussions. Well, there seems to be a divide where the people below the line, when objects mean objects, what of them, the other discussions become, belong to a different group of people, really. There are people who it's such a fundamental thing having objects.
Some objects are more acceptable than other objects. Years ago, curator, and I, as a young curator, went to visit an elderly man because he had some particular works that my friend wanted to borrow for an exhibition. And it was very clear on entering the house that the man was a collector of more than artworks. You know, things were arranged, there were newspapers, that part, and so on. And they discussed these works in the exhibition, and they said, I'd like to show you my favourite collection. And took Anna upstairs, and he had a room where he'd, for years and years, been saving his shit. In jars.
No,
you've made this up. No, it's too good a story. It's true. But my friend always has regretted that he left as quickly as he could. He was very disturbed by it. He said, of course, afterwards he realised that this was the most extraordinary exhibition. And but it was so disturbing to him, he couldn't.
He wasn't the curator for
it. He wasn't the right curator. But that collection of one's what is extruded from the body, this first gift to the mother, the gift that has to be rejected. It's one of the kind of first limitations.
You wonder how many people he tried to get to show his shit collection to.
And who rejected it immediately.
Yes. Scarred.
I think I'd want to know someone was downstairs within hearing. Yes.
I think this was Ellen's feeling. You know, get me out of here. Yeah. And also, how would you exhibit it?
That's just what I was thinking, actually. I was wondering what
kind of jar safety was in. Yeah. And why don't the tops explode?
Yeah.
You know, because they'd be fermenting.
Methane.
Yeah. Did he dry it? You know, all
did
the
he maybe he dried process? It out?
Yes, he must have dried his shit.
Well, as a proper collector would, who would have
conservation
jam?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Conserve jar.
Oh, perhaps they were Yeah. And what should they be open? They were as fresh as the day they were drilled. There was no smell.
So what's that about in the man then? Apart from the desire to collect his shit. We're looking at why he possessed these, why he possessed this object, why he wanted someone else to possess his object.
But that's almost about not wanting to lose any part of himself ever, isn't it?
Didn't Picasso do that as well? As he collected his toenails and stuff.
Did he
collected all his toenails and kept them. Well, I heard this once years ago.
I mean, I know artists have done it as a work in some way.
Yeah. But,
Yeah, there's always one.
Yeah, I mean, that becomes sort of different, isn't it? Because now this person is not actually an artist, is it? It becomes more like...
He's Damien Hirst before Damien Hirst, isn't he?
No, he's not that. It's
this
just
man is a self collector.
Yeah, you can dim it with
art. He also collects shit. Is that his own shit?
Yes.
Is that an artwork?
No. But they call it the first creative act, don't they?
Yes.
Your first.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the gift.
I suppose the question is it the overwhelming desire to collect, or is it an act of display, or is it some, is it in the collection or in the?
It's a really unsatisfactory story because this is all I really tried not to tell it.
Exactly.
I mean, actually, Henry.
That's an awful lot, isn't it?
When did he start?
And is it a new jar each day? I think we all have an image in our heads of what that room looks like.
Yeah.
It'd be quite interesting to draw a little sketch of what you think the room
is.
Sorry. But do we have
very
and it was piled up and threatened to topple in on top of us. In fact, we were drowning in it.
We see, I was imagining loads of really neat regular jars that were all screw tops, all arranged,
labelled like jam.
I think the shelves are very narrow, but the jars are all the jars. There's a gherkin jar and a pickled egg jar and a tomato sauce jar and
the jars are all the same.
Yeah, mine. They're just whatever he's eaten. They're shit-related jars. There's my gherkin shit and there's my.
I thought you meant by size. Choose.
Well, you would though, wouldn't you?
I knew a male nurse who had a cupboard full of his own piss in jars. Because he was kind of too lazy to go downstairs. So that was a laziness. That's quite different.
That wasn't a collection. That was.
But he was proud of it. It was a kind of a secret.
He kept it for a long time.
But I think that's because he's
in the medical
field.
But
what
about the people keep their
benign tumours? Oh, and their gallstones, and things like that. Gallstones, you know, how many people have shown you their gallstones? Someone.
See, we were having
a conversation
before about getting rid of things,
and certain things it's very hard to get rid of. And there was a woman in the group who was talking about she's got a bit of the umbilical cord from her child. And I was saying, my dad has a box of mine and my brother's teeth. And we were saying, the only thing that you could do with those that we'd feel all right about is bury them.
Yeah.
You couldn't just chop them.
Yeah.
And there is something about how you how you get rid of certain things. Like your gallstones are a bit of you. Can you just bin it or burn it? Or it's almost like it needs something.
And do we feel like that ritual about all collections? You know, when it comes to a point when you've put so much energy into amassing them, you're right, and it is a stamp of your personality or your quest, then you can't just, just chuck it in the bin?
I was just thinking about German loos. German loos?
Yeah.
They're built to collect your shit.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So you can see it.
Yeah.
Look at it.
Yeah.
So there's a kind of diagnostic thing, and then afterwards you... But actually, so look, specular kind of relationship, but it actually collects. And then you collect, but it collects.
Yep.
So that collecting is not for all time, for a life, for a year, for an earth,
just a temporary fix.
It's still collecting. mental, psychological, medical, some kind of transaction that we don't allow in England.
But does that constitute possession? Or does possession have to have something more? Because what I really like about the shit example and the piss example, actually, is these are things that are generally considered completely valueless. Even if in Germany you might at least look at it for a moment, nevertheless, it's waste. So there's something quite extraordinary about
collecting waste.
About possession. Waste, yes. It's like, it's actually quite subversive to collect something which is generally given no value.
Effluvia.
A lot of, well, you see people looking at their handkerchiefs. Which always looks disgusting, but people do. Same thing. It's no more disgusting than looking at your shit, really.
There's a toilet museum on Stoke-on-Trent, and I have the world's, there's a museum for everything, and I have the world's authority in obscure museums. And it struck me that you could actually almost turn it, right, at some point I want to write, I've been thinking about, trying to think about the subject of the museum as a way of thinking about collecting or showing or keeping. So, what would collecting toilets tell us about... What would toilets tell us about collecting or something?
Yeah.
And there is definitely something about the way that there are places or spaces there which are kind of repositories for all the things that we can't quite deal with, whether that's the emotional stuff or the physical.
Mm.
I'm sure there's... I mean, I haven't thought it out, but it's almost like there are sanctioned places for waste, where we turn it into something else. And that
bricks.
Bloke has actually done this fantastic transformative act.
And we'll never forget that.
He's turned his shit into something incredible. That is vivid.
Not only that, each one of us has a room of his collected shit in our heads.
Yeah,
all slightly different.
Like a memory palace.
Yes, exactly.
And maybe he can actually, maybe that's what it is. Maybe he can look at those shelves and instantly recall the day.
Yeah.
Exactly like a memory palace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.